So now 8:15, just about, and Japan, known as a leader in disaster management, has been hit by a series of natural disasters this summer and into autumn. They continue, it seems, from a heat wave to floods to typhoons. Typhoon Jebi was the strongest storm to hit the Japanese mainland in 25 years, you may recall. And the country's disaster management agencies just raised the death toll from its 6.7 magnitude earthquake in Hokkaido last Thursday to 39, with two still missing and hundreds more injured. In fact, evacuation centres are still holding around 2,500 people. Let's connect with Elaine Lees, Japan correspondent for Reuters. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Japan may be used to disasters, but this summer seems to be unprecedented just in terms of the number of disasters, if not, matching the scale of Fukushima, for example. Can you help us understand how the country's had to respond?
Well, as you say, it has been an unusual summer in terms of concentration of disasters. Especially last week, we had two in 1 week. And in terms of response, it was unusual. These were unusual. Last week's disasters were unusual because there was infrastructure damage that of a kind you don't really see in Japan. And there's a lot of reasons. The entire island of Hokkaido was without power for a while after the earthquake. There's a lot of very specialized reasons for that. Then the entire airport, Kansai Airport, was knocked out by the flooding as part of the typhoon. So I think there are a lot of questions that have to be answered in the wake of this. The flooding, that was a really complicated situation that involved, among other things, not enough, say, planning for the scope of the disasters and not enough awareness on the part of residents of the various hazards.
A lot of things to go through there. One of the first questions, though, is why? Why all these disasters in one go, especially the weather-related disasters? And it seems like global warming again is being blamed. And is the government taking that seriously?
At this point, I think it's still too early. It was under a week ago that we had the Hokkaido earthquake. So the government is still pretty much engaged in dealing with and managing the impact of the disasters. There hasn't been a lot of talk about global warming. And any summer that has the kind of temperatures that we have seen this summer is going to have more typhoons because the water temperature is warmer so that they maintain their strength as they come north. But no, there has not been that much government talk yet about global warming.
And in terms of disaster management, one of the key features would be getting everybody ready in the first place, both in terms of infrastructure, but also forecasting, like weather forecasting. How problematic has that been?
The weather forecast, weather forecasting in Japan is quite good. The typhoons are very carefully monitored, and they also recently, they're even more cautious than they used to be when they say they recommend for millions of people to be evacuated. That's largely a precautionary move. They can forecast earthquakes by a few seconds now, too, and you can get a signal on an earthquake. Some of the stuff, I think, has taken people by surprise, just the intensity of the rain. And they have been able to, say, forecast that there will be an unusual amount of rain or record-breaking amounts of rain, but there have been a few cases where what actually fell did exceed those predictions. So whether this means they're going to be stepping up their game or not, it's still a little too early to say.
Well, can we just revisit and elaborate a little bit further on what you described as being some weaknesses, really, in terms of disaster management?
Well, I think in terms of disaster management, in terms of preparedness, Japan has put a lot of emphasis on individual preparedness. Every household is supposed to have a bag full of earthquake things so that if they, say, get evacuated to an evacuation center, they can go. But the emphasis has really been more on quakes than on flooding. And this summer, I think what they discovered is that, okay, the government has issued hazard maps for most areas of the country, and in fact, people get them sent in the mail. There has not been as much awareness on the part of people. And, you know, many of us have said, oh, yes, we got a hazard map and we didn't look at it. So I think that as after the tsunami, 311, when there was a lot of talk about how to protect yourself better in the case of a tsunami, I think there will probably be more talk about how to protect yourself better in the case of floods. And so I think there will be probably two-pronged approach, government taking care of matters of information and prediction, and then individual people being more aware of the potential hazards and being ready to take steps to protect themselves.
How has criticism been moving forward, though, and especially at an important time politically for the government and for Prime Minister Shinzo Abe? Has public sentiment been shifting to a point where that could make a bigger difference?
No. In a single word, I think that there doesn't tend to be a lot of sort of blame here. And again, it's still so new for people that people are still kind of dealing and coping rather than looking for blame.
But when we talk about energy supply, and nuclear power was already heavily criticized before Fukushima, but Fukushima was a major blow for nuclear power in Japan. But at the same time, with the conversation of global warming starting to build, even though you've suggested it's not really reached much of a heightened point yet in the country, is this going to put pressure on going forward for alternative natural resources as a way of supplying energy to both protect the infrastructure and also deal with the bigger problem of climate change?
I'm not sure. I mean, Japan has it's made some major steps recently in terms of, say, solar power. There's a lot of what they call solar farms now that in places where there didn't used to be. In fact, a lot of the areas damaged by the tsunami are using land where people are not going to be moving back to build these solar panel farms. So they're working on it. There are problems with wind power, and there has not been as much emphasis in some other countries on the research into the alternative sources of energy. Government is very, very cautiously putting some nuclear plants back online, but they're taking their time about that, and that will take quite a while.
Well, South Korea has been spared some of the worst of the typhoon damage that Japan has seen. Obviously, we've been spared the earthquakes as well, certainly in the magnitude that Japan has experienced. But an area where we can perhaps sympathize most strongly is with the heat wave that hit Japan earlier this summer. But again, it was even more extreme in Japan. Why was it so damaging? Why did it cause such tragic consequences, do you think?
Well, there's an emphasis. I mean, I understand that, you know, in Asia as well, I think there's some reluctance to, say, use air conditioning. And I think that was part of it. Older people tend not to use air conditioning for one reason or another. And that was part of it. It came on very suddenly, so people's bodies didn't have as much chance to get used to it. They are doing, there's a lot of government education now about heat stroke, about protecting yourself against heat stroke, and about using air conditioning to stay cool. But again, it was overwhelming this summer. We were getting, you know, peak record of 41 point something degrees. So it was very hard to keep up.
Yeah, and I'm looking at a Reuters report, not actually you on this, but nonetheless your agency. And this was back at late July, reporting at least 80 people having died at that point and thousands more going to emergency rooms. Officials urging citizens to stay indoors to avoid those temperatures exceeding 40 Celsius. But again, it just seems confusing to me how so many deaths could have resulted in a highly developed country, even if there is that aversion to using air conditioning.
Well, yeah, I mean that is a that is a question, I don't know the exact answer for it. Aversion to using air conditioning. I mean, the cities, like big cities everywhere, you know, they trap the heat. In Japan, in the summers, the sun comes up at around 4:20 in the morning, so that it's a long day, and it's already quite warm by the time you get up. We were seeing temperatures of 30 degrees by 8 a.m. quite a lot during the worst of the summer. And so I can't really answer that.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there may have to be a lot more public education taken. I think a lot of the people, there were people that would be, they tended to be older, and, you know, they would be like, oh, I'm going out to work in the fields, and things would happen. So it may be a matter of public education going forward.
Well, certainly in some of these areas, we're going to have to be better prepared, both in this country and in Japan, going forward. Thank you, Elaine Lees, Japan correspondent for Reuters, for giving us a better sense of that.
Thank you.